Parshas Bechukosai concludes Sefer Vayikra. Parshas Kitavo effectively concludes Sefer Devarim. There are parshios subsequent to Kitavo, but they clearly summarize and wrap up the entire proceedings. Moshe, on the last day of his life, writes those 13 Sifrei Torah and entrusts them to the 12 Shvatim, and then a special one to Shevet Levi. So the mitzvot per se, the narrative of Devarim, the laws, the mitzvot of Sefer Devarim conclude in Kitavo the same way the mitzvot of Vayikra conclude in Bechukosai, with a bris, with a covenant, with a treaty, with an agreement. Vayikra and Devarim are the two legal books of the Torah. Shemot and Bamidbar are the two narrative. Obviously, Bereshit is also primarily narrative, but that's pre-national history. Those are our forefathers, Jewish people. Their national arc begins in Sefer Shemot, which is primarily stories. There are some legal halachic sections, but primarily the stories of our redemption. And Bamidbar, the stories of our journeys. Bamidbar is really a Sefer, which was never meant to happen. It's a period which was really never meant to evolve. We were supposed to immediately thrust ourselves into Israel right after Sefer Shemot and the laws of Vayikra. But Vayikra and Devarim contain the legal sections. These are the books of the Torah, the Sfarim of the Torah, that contain the most saturated parshios of mitzvos, as far as mitzvos are concerned. They each end with a bris, a covenant between God and people, in which if we adhere and sustain the mitzvos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu summons us toward, then both our personal and our collective experiences will be prosperous, will be redeemed, will be, in fact, supernaturally triumphant. But if we fail, and if we balk at the divine command, then we will be routed. Personally, misery, horror. Collectively, a total shutdown of our national agenda, characterized by dislocation from our national historical land, the land we are meant to reside in, inhabit, and build a nation of God upon. And these two tochachos are bone-chilling, horrific, especially the tochacha of Parshas Kisavo, which is voiced in human terms, from a human perspective. Parshas Bechukotai belongs to Sefer Vayikra. The voice of that Sefer is a divine, omniscient voice, the voice of God. Moshe's voice underwrites Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim is written in human voice, and Moshe doesn't just describe events, but Moshe describes the responses of human beings, the suffering, the visceral punishments, beyond just the national shutdown and the personal punishment. Every day we'll wonder when will the evening come. Every evening we'll wonder when will the morning come. You will see your children sacrificed in front of your eyes. You will be crazy and hallucinatory from the scenes your eyes behold. You won't be healed. You won't have homes to be settled, but people will take them from you. Your pains will be outrageous. V'flah Hashem es makoscha. This is a very, very different voice than the voice of Sefer Vayikra, which is Hashem's voice. And reading these two sections, the Tochacha in Bechukosai, concluding Vayikra, and the Tochacha in Kitavo, concluding Devarim, are not easy. They're important. They're not easy because they describe challenging moments to Jews, sad, traumatic experiences which we've all undergone, particularly over the last 2,000 years. That's why when we read them in public, they're read with muted breath, with quickened pace, not luxuriously, not in a relaxed and cavalier fashion, certainly not triumphantly or confidently. But within these two tochachos, both the tochacha of Bechukotai and the tochacha of Kitavo, lie hidden messages of consolation, of embrace, of reinforcement of the unique Jewish destiny upon its unique land of destiny. Despite the harsh, strident moments of each tochacha, within the trauma, the bloodshed, suffering, the misery, the horror, hidden messages reminding us that even when we suffer, God is with us. Even when we're absent from our land, our national destiny hasn't been terminated, has just been suspended, has just been delayed. So, for example, the Ramban comments on all the descriptions of hunger, of suffering, of persecution, a lack of financial success, of agrarian failure. Ramban says these are all punishments describing the situation of the Jewish people in Israel as the Churban, as the destruction looms, is introduced. It is there's a prescient sense that destruction will come by the agricultural famines, by the invasion of animals, by the lack of stability, by the lack of normalcy, by the lack of continuity. But the Ramban writes, when the Jews are finally removed from their land and visit all the continents of this world on their way back home, when the Jews are off their land, their lives will be normal. Their lives will be constant. Their lives will fall into a routine. And indeed, there are episodic and certainly periodic moments of crisis and persecution. And in no way should we ignore those or downplay those or trivialize those. And now that we have returned to the land of history, certainly most of the world has aligned itself against that historical mission. Shem Malach Yirgazu Amim Shamu Amim Yirgazun. The nations hear that the Jewish people are crossing the Yamsuf, are crossing historical boundaries. Shamu Amim Yirgazun. There's a fury. There's a resistance. There's a demonization of the Jewish people and a delegitimization of their role. Shamu Amim Yirgazun. But for the last 2,000 years, most of our life has been sedate, has been successful, has been prosperous, has been punctuated by terrible crisis, terrible trauma, terrible persecution, but certainly hasn't reflected the nightmarish horror of the Tochacha. Jews have by and large raised their families, built communities, prospered, when given the opportunity, have impacted the world in a positive and progressive sense. And the Jewish history of the last 2,000 years hasn't been a history characterized by tochacha, but history characterized by success as God's chosen people, even when that chosenness is severely clipped because it's disjointed from land and nation. But, as Ramban writes, despite the prosperity, despite the success, the Tochacha reminds us, "V'lo matz'a manoach l'kaf ragla," that despite the fact that you will settle, despite the fact that you will succeed, you won't find "lo matz'a manoach l'kaf ragla." You won't find absolute harmony, absolute quietude, absolute tranquility, l'kaf ragla, for the heel of your foot. You won't find that. What does the Ramban write? Lo matzah manoach lekaf ragla. Quotes a Medrash. Medrash says, if you would find manoach lekaf ragla, if you would be absolutely harmonious, you'd find that ultimate tranquility, that utopia that you're looking for, in which a Jewish experience can be settled and can be harmonious, can be tranquil, you'd never dream of returning back to Israel. You wouldn't realize that despite the relative success of your condition, it's an alternate sphere, an alternate realm. It's not the true realm of a Jew. It's not the ultimate utopian realm of a Jew. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the Jewish people to meet with success and prosperity, it was never total. It was never unconditional. It was always transient in the larger historical sweep. Always to remind the Jew that though he succeeds in pitching his tent in many different climates, on many different shores, in many different regions, they're all nothing more than encampments. And it's our responsibility to ourselves and to those we share those encampments with, take those encampments seriously and to improve those encampments, but to realize they're just stages on the journey, stops on a train towards our destiny, towards our history. V'lo matz'a manoach l'kaf ragla, the Torah writes. you won't find peace. You won't find absolute harmony. The chilling account in which Jews, presumably, were exiled to Germany as early as the first Beis HaMikdash, roughly 400 BCE. The first Jews arrived in Germany after Nebuchadnezzar vanquished Yerushalayim. And Ezra, who returns after 70 years of exile, sends letters, emissaries to the Jews of Germany. Return to Israel, return to Yerushalayim. Let's rebuild our homeland. Let's resettle our people. Let's reinstate the Mikdash. Let's recover prophecy. The Jews of Germany write back to Ezra. They say, you go to Yerushalayim HaGdolah. You return to the large Yerushalayim. We will stay in Yerushalayim HaKtana. We will stay in mini Jerusalem, because Jews in Germany had been welcomed, had been embraced, had been successful even over those 70 years. And there's a Masara that is quoted by one of the Svarim in Shulchan Aruch, the Sma, in the name of the Sma. Because of that historically myopic or historically blind letter, because of the audacity to assume that any place could replace Yerushalayim, the hills of Yerushalayim. And this is not something I would say if it weren't a Masara. It'd be too difficult, too cruel, too audacious, too arrogant to say, but it's a Masara quote in the name of a great Visma. Because of that letter, the Jews of Germany suffered disproportionately throughout history, far and beyond the suffering that other Jewish communities were exposed to. Because they said, we can stay here, because they denied the prophecy of the Tochacha. You won't find harmony. You won't find tranquility. Success, yes. Prosperity, yes. But not ultimate tranquility. That's the challenge of a Jew, to fulfill these two hidden messages of the Tochacha. Some are just so covetous that apocalyptic relocation to Israel, that they're unable to either practically invest effort or even emotionally, attitudinally, see their own reality before their pre-Israel reality is a meaningful one, religiously, even nationally. Jews have always been at the forefront of building societies, communities for themselves, for their neighbors. In the modern era, at the forefront of science and medicine, social crusades, economics. But not just for the broader population, but for the internal Jewish population, to build solid, viable, successful, and robust Jewish communities. But while you build those robust communities, can you also dream of a different world? Can you also take what you've built, as we would say, with a grain of salt, and recognize that they're all transient, they're all products of time, they'll all fade, the person belongs elsewhere. Striking that balance, the balance of these two hidden messages of the Tochacha, lies at the heart of succeeding in Jewish history. The one hand, recognizing Hashem wants our success in Galus. He allows us these breaks, these respites, these stations, which we can recover our national vigor. We're in the process, in many respects, not just in Israel, but we're directly involved in the historical and geographical redemption. But even the fact that we have replenished our resources, our spiritual resources, our national resources, our cultural resources, our economic resources so soon after the Holocaust, is on the one hand a sign of redemption. As history hurtles to its conclusion, history accelerates and moves faster than it does in the middle of its stretch. As with any race, towards the end there's an accounting. History has to account, has to make final payments to different parties or players in the historical challenge, historical struggle. But it's also important on its own. It's important that Jewish stability be reinforced, the Jewish experience become more viable and more prosperous. So these are just two of the hidden messages of the Tochacha, having nothing to do with the larger message of betrayal and of being cast out of our land. But even after we're betrayed, we're still a chosen people with a chosen ark. That chosen ark spans regions, continents, and geographies. There are other hidden messages in the Tochacha, beyond just the message of prosperity and transience. But in Mirtz Hashem, those messages will have to wait. If indeed we aren't completely redeemed by next year's Tochacha for a different shear. Shabbat Shalom.